I don't care about that guy out there in Fort Oglethorpe, drives that little old truck around, said everybody's going to heaven, stays there and all that. He's wrong. Let me just tell you, I'm talking from a biblical perspective. The idea is that if you're saved, there's a heaven to gain, and if you're lost, there's a hell you sure don't want to go to. Amen? So we'll just kind of clear that up right off the bat. All right? I want you to take your Bible with me. You know, we've been talking about looking in the book of 2 Kings with me. 2 Kings chapter number 7. 2 Kings chapter number 7. And we've been talking about the idea of thriving. Can the church thrive in 2025? And the scripture reading today is in 2 Kings chapter number 7 that we'll be preaching from. And what I want you to see is a story. In chapter number 7, we're given a story about just kind of a strange situation that's going on with the people of Israel at this time, and how God does meet their need. I'm glad I got a God that still meets my needs. Amen? I mean, I don't understand it. I don't know how he does it. I kind of, you know, sometimes get like you do. I get into those doubtful situations and I wonder, well, can God or will he or is he big enough? Is he got enough? He always does. Amen. It's always amazing how he does it. So look if you will here in this story. Look in verse number 1. Then Elisha, this is after the prophet Elijah. We're in the days of the prophet Elisha. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we shall enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians, and if they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they arose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and they left their tents and their horses and their asses and even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came, and they called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the morning. Thank you for the good time of fellowship and worship and testimony. And Lord, for everything that you've done for us, I just thank you and praise you for that. Now, I pray your people this morning would just feel the freedom and the joy and the goodness of God, just so we can worship you here today. Thank you again for that. Now, I pray if there's somebody lost, speak to their heart. Show them their need of Christ, how that Jesus can change their lives. And again, we'll just give you worship, praise and thanks for everything you do for us. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to just tell you an old quote that is from an old preacher from years ago named Daniel Niles. And I think some people knew him as Dr. D.T. Niles. He was just an old preacher. And thinking about these verses, he said this. He said that evangelism, the thought of evangelism, they were talking about evangelism. He said evangelism is simply this. Evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where he found the bread. Amen? Hey, I'm telling you, isn't that a good thought to go along with this thought that we have here this morning? Now, I want you to look at the story and notice all the things that go along with it. First of all, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the agonizing situation. You think about the agonizing situation that's going on. Now, the people of Israel and all of them that have gathered here in the city of Samaria are under siege from the Syrian army. And due to that, it's been a long siege. It's taken a long time, as wars can many times. If you can imagine, in days gone by, they didn't have military aptitude like we have with, you know, air resources and just huge amounts of troops with weaponry and all that. So sometimes what they'd do is exactly what they've done here. They would surround a city, and the city had walls. I mean, massive walls about it. City of Samaria had walls round about it that protected those on the inside. But guess what? Nothing from the outside was getting to the inside. There was no deliveries of food. There was no commerce going on. There were no people able to come and sell their vegetables and fruits and breads and whatever they had. I mean, the city was getting shut down. And after a while, I want you to notice this. First of all, there came a great time of dearth in the city. And that word dearth just simply means there was a famine. You heard those guys saying that. Those lepers are there, and they said, man, what are we going to do? If we go into the city, we'll die there because there's nothing there to eat. You can go back in that earlier chapter, if you want to, in chapter number 6 sometime, and you'll read what they're selling. You'll read that they're eating horse heads and mule heads and all kinds of stuff you and I wouldn't think about eating, but they've gotten to the place where there's starvation and they don't know what to do. They have no idea what to do. Hey, can I tell you, that's much like a lost person's life. I mean, you're in a place where you're starving and you don't know what to do. But you know what comes next? Not only was there dearth in the city, there was death in the city. I mean, people were dying. Why? Because they were starving to death. I mean, there was nothing to eat, and it didn't matter how much money you had. You just couldn't eat your money. There was nothing there to be had. I mean, they were trying to buy and sell among each other, and it came down to it where some folks were doing it without, and as they did without, they died. You hear what these guys say? These four lepers are sitting there, and they say, well, why do we sit here till we die? I mean, we're just going to sit here and die if we don't do something. If we try to go in the city, hey, there's nothing there. We'll die there. So why don't we do this? They begin to devise a plan in their minds of something that they've got to do. So if you will, you look at their decision. They say, look, we're in a mess. We all going to die. They're going to die on the inside. They're behind that wall. We're out here because we're lepers and we can't interact with people. We're going to die. So what are we going to do about dying? And they say, well, okay, let's do this. They talk among themselves. It says there's four of them there. They cannot come in and contact people in the city because they have leprosy. Now, you know, at this time, it don't make a whole lot of sense, does it? I mean, everybody gonna die anyway, and you probably ain't gonna die of leprosy if you interact with these people, but they're still on the outside of the city. So they say, okay, here's what we're gonna do. We'll go and let us, in verse number 4 in the middle of it, now therefore come, let us fall under the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they decide to have mercy on us, give us food, hallelujah. And if they kill us, we shall but die. We're going to die anyway. And we'll die, but let's die trying, okay? I mean, isn't that amazing? I'm telling you, I'm glad when the Holy Ghost starts working on somebody's heart and begins to tell them a little bit and say, hey, son, you're dying. But I want to tell you something, you don't have to die. If you're going to die, die trying something, amen? I'm telling you, if you're here lost today, you ought to try Jesus, and he'll keep you from death, amen. He done delivered a bunch of us. He done given us, hey, the thing is, the ball is in your court, and you've got a decision to make. You going to sit there and die? Hey, the world is sitting and dying today because they will not come to the one place that they can find help. And that ain't just necessarily saying the church building. I'm talking about coming to Jesus himself is where you will find help. Amen. So here's these four lepers. And as I say, you look at this and you understand this is an agonizing situation that they're in. But at the end of that agonizing situation, they have to make a decision. So they make the decision, let's just go. Look here in verse number 5. And they rose up in the twilight. I mean, it's getting dark. It's getting dreary. It's getting dull. It's getting deathly. And we got to get out of here. Something's got to happen, right? So I want you to look at the agonizing situation. But then let's move on and let's look at the amazing sustenance that God provides. Let's look at the amazing sustenance. First of all, let me just ask you some questions here. First of all, can you believe the scene that they run into? Look in verse number 6, or middle part of verse number 5. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. They go and they say, we're just going to turn ourselves into Syrians. If they kill us, they kill us. If they don't, we're going to live. But when they got there, notice what they found. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and they left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Amen? Boy, isn't that an amazing thing when you hear that? I mean, here's the way. Hey, can you believe the scene that they run into? They run into a scene here, and they say, where is everybody? Well, there's tents full of food over here. There's places where they've got horses. They left behind their gold, their treasures, their garments. They've left everything behind. Hey, can I tell you, I don't understand how God does it sometimes, but I'm thankful that he still can. Amen? I don't get it. How did that happen, preacher? I don't know. I don't get it. It says the Lord made them to hear. They heard something that wasn't there. What I want you to understand is this. God can do whatever necessary, whatever it takes to get you in the right place at the right time. I mean, he can do some amazing and some wondrous things that you don't know anything about. Amen? And when you get there, whoo, I mean, you're just like, hey, how did this happen? How did this happen? And we just don't know. We just don't know. You remember the story also about Elisha. Elisha is out in the wilderness with his little helper buddy that's there with him. And they get up one morning and the little helper boy goes out and he looks around. He said, hey, Elisha, we're surrounded by the enemy. What are we going to do? And oh, Elisha looks at him and says, son, I want you to know something. Those that are for us are more than those that are against us. And he said, I don't know what you're looking at, but I see a pretty big crowd of the enemy right now. And he bowed his head and he said, God, open his eyes and let him see. And when he did, he saw the hosts of heaven round about. Amen. What I'm telling you is I don't understand it. I'm telling you this thing is spiritual. This thing is beyond us. This thing is otherworldly. This thing is out of this, out of the reason of normal carnal minds. This is beyond our thinking. And God made them here. Isn't that amazing? Here's a whole army. And the Syrian army was a pretty massive bunch and a pretty, stalwart, strong, and mean kind of bunch. And God let them hear some little noise and it scared them to death. They ran like a bunch of babies. Amen? Amen. That's what it says. They fled for their lives. They said, oh no, we're surrounded by the Egyptian army, the Hittites, they're coming. And, oh, the king of Israel's hired them, and now they're sneaking up on every man for himself. And they took off running. And when they did, they didn't carry nothing with them. Amen? They didn't carry a thing with them. They took off, and these lepers get there, and they look around, and they say, where's everybody going? Where's everybody at? They go in a tent. Hey, there's a ham sandwich over here. Woo, come and get you some. Amen? I mean, somebody come and said, hey, there's all kinds of gold and jewels and nice clothing. And they began to drag it out. They went off and they hid it somewhere. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine that scene? Can you imagine? Can you believe the supply that was left for them to find? Can you believe that? You say, now wait a minute. You remember what Elisha had just said? He said, tomorrow. I mean, this happened day one. That night, these lepers got together and said, what are we going to do? And later on that evening, they went over to where the Syrian army was, and everybody's gone. And Elisha said, tomorrow, about the same time that me and you were talking to this man that was one of the king's right-hand men, if you will, he said, you're going to see that the flour and the meal and the barley, all this stuff, it's going to be cheap. It's going to be so cheap, you can buy it for the least amount of money there is among us, a shekel. And he's like, well, if God opened the windows of heaven, that wouldn't even be possible. He said, well, you're going to see it, but you ain't going to get none of it. Amen? I don't want God telling me that kind of stuff. That's kind of scary right there. But can you imagine? Here it is. This guy says, oh, we're all starving to death. Ain't nothing in this city. There ain't a speck of nothing. And you say tomorrow we're going to be overflowing with flour and barley and food of all sorts. That can't happen. Woo, can I tell you? It can. And the Bible says here, these men found this and there's a supply. I mean, every one of those soldiers was loaded up for a long siege. Maybe they just had a supply truck come in and unload all the wagons and feed up all the troops. And here, you put a barrel of flour in your tent. You put a bunch of bread here. You carry, you get this, and you get, and everybody's all stocked up. And then they hear the noise and they run off. Amen? And the lepers go in and they say, jackpot! Amen. Huh? Some of them knuckleheads last night probably thought they won the lottery. Can I tell you, these guys said, woohoo, we're in the money, amen. I mean, they really thought they had it, didn't they? And they're looking, can you believe the surprise? Can I tell you, I cannot believe what God can supply sometimes. It doesn't take a crowd for him to supply. It doesn't take knowledge for him to supply. It doesn't take somebody on up the rung socially to supply. Can you imagine? Here's a bunch of dead, dying, leprous people, nobody to have nothing to do with, and they run into the riches that there are. Can I tell you, that's the way it is when you're lost. He gave you the supply of heaven, amen. Gave you the riches of heaven. Here they are, man. They're looking around like, what in the world? But look what happens then. It says, verse number 8, when they came to the uttermost part of the camp. In other words, they're on the outskirts of the camp. And they went into one tent, and they did eat and drink, carried thence silver and gold, raiment, went and hid it, came back, entered into another tent, did the same thing. They're going from the outside in, and they realize, woo, this thing's good, y'all. And they hid it. But look what it says in verse number 9. Then they said one to another, we do not well. Now, I want to ask you this. This is the third question out of this. Can you be silent about what God's done for you? Amen? Can you be silent? We do not. Well, look what it says. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. We cannot be quiet about what God's done for us. Amen? Can I tell you, Brother Alvin just said it, didn't he? Why do we sit here sometime like a knot on a log and think about God has opened up some windows, God's poured out some blessings, God has turned over the honey pot, God has come down and dwelt and stirred and lived among me and you, and we sit here and say, well, I just can't say, yes, you can. Say amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm glad you and I, hey, they said, look, we're not doing good. This ain't the right thing to do. We do not well. This is a day of good tidings. God's been good. Hey, can I tell you, church, God's been good to us. Amen. He said, if we tarry till the morning light, if we wait just a little while, if we got to do something now. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in morning light. So it says some mischief will come upon us. We could be in some kind of difficulty. This thing could turn around. The Syrians might come back. Something might happen. We better do something with what we got now. Amen. Can I tell you, how in the world can we be silent? How can we be silent about what the Lord has done for us? Oh, let me tell you. Look what it says. It says, so they came to the porter of the city. At the end of verse number 9, they said, Therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. We got to tell everybody everything and what God's done. Oh, can I tell you? I love when old sinners come in here and say, can I tell you what God's done? And the saints say, woo, hallelujah. He done it for me too. Amen. Amen. He went and did it again. Thank God. Well, here, the Bible said they came and they told the porter of the city. Now, there's some men that are standing there looking down from some watchtowers overhead, and they see those lepers approaching. They're the porters. They'll let you in or they'll keep you out. And the porters look down, and they say, we got good news. There's bread. Amen. Amen. And the story goes on. You can read it. As you look at it, it says that the king was a little bit hesitant to start with about it. Oh, but can I tell you, listen, first of all, let me tell you this. So this is the astonishing story that the beggars tell. The astonishing story that they tell. First of all, hey, just like I said earlier, it's a bunch of beggars with bread. Bunch of bread. I could imagine them men running back and they said, looky here. And the porter's looking down and said, that looks like bread. Peanut butter, honey, and bread sandwich. Amen. Woo! They said, where'd you get that? There's tons of it over here. Let us in so we can tell the king. Amen? Boy, let me just tell you something, friend. Sometimes it's hard to believe what God does, isn't it? It's hard. You see somebody and say, I know him. Look at that crowd down there. That's a bunch of beggars. Well, they're lepers. I mean, look at them. Yeah, but we got good news. Things are looking up, y'all. Can I tell you, God saved you to send out a message. There's good news. Hallelujah. You can thrive with the church of the living God. Amen. Boy, they said, we got some good news. And the porter says, well, before I open the gate, I'll go tell the king. So if you read on in the story, the king goes, or they go to the king, the porter, and it says, verse number 11, called the porters and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said to his servants, I'll show you what the Syrians have done. They know that we be hungry. Therefore, they're gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we'll catch them alive and get into their city. And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses which remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are all, as all the multitude of Israel that's left in it. Behold, I say that they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. Amen. They said, okay, King, here's what we ought to do. Let's send some messengers and let them come back and let's see what the message is. It said, therefore, they took two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them into the Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. Listen, and the messengers returned and told the king. There were some beggars with bread. Now there's some messengers with a message. It's just like they said. Thank God for messengers that carry the message. Amen. Boy, I tell you, for a messenger to really have the message, he needs to have seen it for himself. He needs to know. Hey, I'm telling you, have you seen how God's worked in your life? Have you seen how God's changed your family? Have you seen how God's blessed, increased, multiplied over and over and over again to you and your, hey, you got a message. Go out there and spread that message. Amen. Tell them, hey, King, I got some good news. It's just, them beggars has got bread. Can I tell you? That's the story. It's right. It's true. I'm a spreading that thing further and further. Amen. There were some beggars with bread. There were some messengers with a message. And then last of all, there was food for all the faint and famished. Listen to what it said. Verse 16, it said, and the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. What does that mean? That means there was food for those that had been faint, those that had been famished, those that were weary, broke down, almost to the place of starvation. There was some food, and God had miraculously supplied it. What's the point of the story, preacher? It is this. If you're here this morning, good news. There's a messenger bringing a message to your heart that said there is food for the hungry. Amen. If you're here today and you're lost, there is some food for your soul. It is the good news. Jesus said, if you come unto me, he said, I'll in no wise cast you. He said, you come to me, and I'll, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hey, Jesus said, we're to come and eat of his body and drink of his blood, and thank God we'd be supplied. He said to the little lady at the well, he said, I'll give you some water. You'll never thirst again. Can I tell you, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. What I'm saying is, he's got what you need. Amen. He's got every bit of what you and I need today. It's all found in him. And in him alone. He's the only one that's got what you need. You need Jesus this morning more than you need this bread that these guys found. More than you need the silver and the gold. Now, I know there's a whole lot of spiritual application in this. Whole lot of that with that silver, gold, raiment, all of those things. You remember? Isn't that the stuff that went on when the prodigal son came home? The daddy said, go up there and get one of them golden rings and put it on his finger. You know what that was? That was a sign of his place and his authority in the family. He said, you go up there and get some shoes and some new clothes. He said, what he's got on is tattered, ragged. Can you imagine? Them folks had been in there and they were worried sick. They were famished. They were just all kinds of, I don't even know if they even took time to wash their clothes or they had water to do that. But they went out there, they run through there and said, how's this Syrian garment look on me? Woo! Hallelujah. That guy said, honey, it's beautiful. Get you two of them. Grab a few there. Amen. Hey, they're free today. Can I tell you, the Lord wants to clothe you in something that is the beauty and the glory of his righteousness. The Bible talks about in the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah. Zechariah said there was a priest by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah stood before the Lord, but he had dirty garments. And God, Zechariah was like, he's all tore up and he's worried about it. And the Lord said, don't worry. He said, Zechariah, I'll take care. He said, I spoke to Jeremiah. He said, take off your filthy garment and I'll give you some that are pure and white. Thank God, aren't you glad when you got saved? Those old ragged, dirty, filthy clothes of yourself, God got rid of all that self-righteousness and he clothed you in the righteousness of heaven today. Amen. That's what you can have simply by making your way down to Jesus this morning. The church can thrive. And I'll tell you, church, we ought to take these thoughts and run them together to the place where we know that these things will help us to thrive as the members of the body of Christ. Sometimes we do get kind of bogged down and kind of messed up and just out of sorts and famished and hungry. But aren't you glad he's got something that'll fill your soul today? Is your soul empty? Do you need to come and fill it with the good stuff that only he has? He's got so much. He's got it without price and without cost to you. Thank God he'll provide it for you. You remember talking about the prodigal son? The prodigal son got to a place in his life where he's down feeding the hogs in the hog pen. And he said, the Bible says that he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. He got to the point where he said, I'm ready to eat this garbage because it's all there is. And you know what? This world wants you to eat the garbage of this world. Oh, that's all there is. That's all you're going to get. That's all there is. Hey, watch that TV. Be entertained. Watch this and listen to that and follow these and go with those. That's what this world wants you to think. But then the Bible said that that young man came to himself. The prodigal son came to himself and he said, I know what I'm going to do. My father's house. He said, the servants there have bread enough and to spare. There's more than they know what. I'll just go back. If you just let me be one of them servants, I'll be glad to take that job. It's better than this mess. Can I tell you there's something better for you? If you're lost, there's something better for you. If you're saved and you're all messed up with the stuff of this world, there's something better for you. And it simply takes coming down here and humbling yourself at the foot of the cross. Let's stand this morning, if you would. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something. If you're lost, you need to just step out and come down here and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to save me. I want you to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm tired, I'm hungry, I'm worn, I'm weary, I'm eat up with my disease and my sin. I need some help this morning. Would you come? I mean, just take that step. Come on down here. There'll be somebody here to pray with you, meet you. And if you're here this morning, Christian, and you're getting tired and wearied and war battered in this crazy world, come on down here and say, Lord, I need some strengthening. I need some help. I need something that you've got for me this morning. Would you? What are we going to sing, brother?